Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Hallelujah. A beautiful song to come up and preach on. It is well with my soul. Yeah, you can speak that out of freedom, can't you? You're all bound up. You can't speak words like "it is well with my soul." Except, of course, by faith, as Trudy said, calling those things that are not as though they already are. Got your Bibles here tonight? Let's open up to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Are you really ready? Jason, are you ready? Yes! Jason, are you ready for the Word of God tonight? Oh, I thought you were just going to come straight in on that one with me, buddy. I want to talk about that subject tonight, freedom here for you. Freedom here. Here in 2017, freedom that God's made available. He's made it very clear in Scripture that His freedom, the freedom to rule, to reign, to have dominion, to have authority, to have the anointing of God in your life, is available to every born-again, Bible-believing person. Amen? Amen. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 16, I want to pick up in verse 16. The Bible says, as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming, the Bible says, to foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge, and she bought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation." Wow! They can foretell a future, can't they? And she did this for many days. You know, it makes me wonder why she was following these men of God around, proclaiming what she was proclaiming, when she had the ability to touch into spirits of divination and foretell the future. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, the Amplified says, turned and said to the spirit within her. Remember now, we're not warring against flesh and blood. We're warring against powers and principalities and rulers of the air. Amen? He speaks to the spirit within her. "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. It came out of her that very moment. But when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum, or the marketplace, where trials are held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, "These fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city into great confusion. They encourage the practice of customs, which is unlawful for us Romans to accept or observe." The crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received no so strict a charge, put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. At around about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and all at once the doors were opened, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. We can read on, but I just want to see it there. There was this young girl, bound up by a spirit, tormented, but sensing that she had a gifting that would not only give her a life, but give profit to those who had charge over her. I don't know what sort of condition she lived in, how they looked after her, how they treated her, but it certainly wasn't a freedom that she was in, because as soon as the word of God was spoken over her, as soon as Paul spoke in the name of Jesus, come out of her spirit, she was what? She was set free. And the spirits that were operating around her, particularly in those men that looked after her, did not like what God had done through the Apostle Paul. They were out to get revenge. But how many know when prison doors shut, God is the way, and he can throw open prison doors and unfasten shackles. Amen? Isn't it interesting that while I was reading through this passage the other day, an email came through to me about a testimony of a young girl who is now a pastor of a church in New Zealand. I logged on to the website, and her testimony was like this. I was born to an atheist mother, and my father was a Buddhist. So at a very young age, I was dedicated into Buddhism. I didn't like Buddhism. So at the age of 14, I decided I was going to be an atheist like my mum. So she said I searched Google to find out where I could find workshops and training days and conferences to teach me how to be an atheist. She said I was in a very exclusive Christian school. Nobody bothered me because they all knew I had my opinion about God, and it wasn't a very nice one. Until one day a group of girls who were part of Planet Shakers in Melbourne said to me, why don't you come along to Planet Boom with us on Friday night? She said, I explained to them in no uncertain language. She said, that language I don't use anymore. She said, I'm not interested. I don't want anything to do with your God. I don't want anything to do with churches. I don't want anything to do with religion. I'm happy being an atheist. She said, what I didn't know, these girls were actually praying for me. And she said, while I was hell-bent, literally these are her words, I was hell-bent on being a good atheist, God had other plans for me. And she said, one day, she said, I was invited along to Planet Boom on a Friday night, and I thought, what the heck? I'm going to go along, I'm going to take my atheist girlfriends with me, and we're going to play havoc right through the night. We're going to see how much turmoil, how much disruption, how much confusion we can bring into that little church gathering there in Melbourne. Well, they arrived, there was 800 young people there. It was no little church meeting. The band were cranking, the lights were going, everything was happening. And she said, we were still in our happy little world, being good atheists in the middle of this Christian environment, playing havoc, speaking words against them, cursing the musicians, waiting for the speaker to go up so we could give her curry as well. But God had another plan. He said, in the middle of the message, God spoke into my heart and said, you get yourself down the front and surrender your life to Jesus and see what God can do with your life. I'm reading this story about the suddenly that came into this young girl's life. I'm reading about the name of Jesus, that spirit had to leave her. It didn't leave her in a week or a month. It didn't gradually go. The Bible said it left her immediately, right at that moment. In the same hour, I think, is the King James Version, but when you look at that, it's an immediately. It's not literally a 60 minutes. It's a at that moment. And I'm hearing that same story of this young girl who in an instant came out of being wanting to be a great atheist into being one of the great pastors in this church in New Zealand now. And she owes it all to the conviction of those young girls in the college that says, we don't want her to stay like that. We know that our God can change her life. So tonight I want to talk about freedom in the true sense, what God sent his son Jesus for, so that you and I can experience the freedom that Jesus talks about. So let's flip back to the book of John. John chapter 8. Book of John chapter 8. I want to pick up in verse 31. I want to speak out the red parts of the Bible tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Who wants to be set free? Who wants to have recognition of the bondage that's kept us back? And who wants to step into that freedom that God has got for us? Amen? Bible says in the book of John here, picking up in verse 31, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, that is, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Amen. The King James actually used the words make, and the truth will make you free. I really believe on that word make rather than set. I know it's a similar sort of passage, but if something makes you, that means it's starting off with perhaps a mess, perhaps started off with a bit of turmoil, perhaps started off with a bit of, you know, stuff that's not too pretty, or stuff that's sitting idle and scattered, and you bring it together and you make it what it's meant to be. Jesus said here, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. That's good. We got that part. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's offspring, descendants, and have never been in bondage to anybody. Hello? Let's turn the history books back just a little bit. What do you mean by saying you will be set free? And Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin. Let's look at that again. Jesus' words, whoever commits and practices sin is the slave of sin. If that's not bondage, I don't know what is. Amen? Come on. Verse 35, now a slave does not remain in a household permanently forever. The son of the house does remain forever. Look at that comparison Jesus just set alignment to right there. A slave does not remain in a household permanently, that is forever. The son of the house does remain forever. Verse 36, so if the son liberates you or makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. That's out of the Amplified Version, I know. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Who wants to be free indeed? Amen. Let's look at this word free. Webster's New World Dictionary defines the word free, not under control, not under the power of another, having liberty and living independently. That's the word free. So let's look at this. If the Son sets you free, Jesus being the Son of God, the first word that Jesus uses here for free is the verb which speaks of the act of setting free. Amen? So if the Son sets you free actively, a bit like those prison doors, a bit like those stocks coming off when Paul and Silas were in the jail. If the Son sets you free, there's an action there. The translation of that word is to make you free from the domination of sin and to set at liberty. I like the way God works. He makes you free from the dominion of sin and just leaves you hanging. So what am I going to do now? God, you've set me free. What? No. The Bible here in this word free talks about being set at liberty. And I want to make this point right now that our salvation is the greatest act of freedom that you and I can ever experience. Salvation, that Greek word salzo, completion, wholeness, with nothing missing. Everyone say nothing missing. And nothing broken. Isn't that amazing? One little word, salvation. Salzo. Completeness. Wholeness. With nothing missing. No thing missing from your life. That's why God sent his son Jesus, so there'd be no thing missing from your life. Nothing. Amen. Wholeness, completeness, nothing missing and nothing broken. Can I say this also tonight, that freedom is more than a one-time act? Based on the word there. When he sets you free, you are free indeed. You're not going to step out into freedom and go, oh, that was nice. And go back in, oh, that's not so nice. Clang goes the door behind you, you're locked back in. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want the sun to set you free so that you can stay free. He wants to set you free so you go, ha, I'm free now. And then you commit a sin and you step back into guiltiness. You step back into unforgiveness. You step back into your old way of life and he shuts the door behind you. Freedom is more than a one-time act. The Bible says in the second part of the passage, you'll be free indeed. The second word free is an adjective. And it describes the life of the person who has been set free. We just read it in English and we go, it's the word free. It means you get it for nothing. It means that no one's in control. But God in his power contains sin on our behalf, excuse me, through his son Jesus, sets us at liberty and keeps us in that state if we're willing to do the journey of life with him. Amen? It's an ongoing lifestyle of freedom in Christ. You don't just say, that was a lovely experience. What's next? It's more like, that was an awesome experience. What's next? Are you with me? Because when you get set free, it's more than just a la-di-da, hair standing on your arms up on end, hair on the back of your neck bristling. It's more than that. It's a lifestyle you now step into that Christ wants us to continue in. Freedom, friends, is in real time. It doesn't say, you know, you're great, you're set free now. Now, when you get to heaven, you're going to have your own set of wings and a violin and a harp and whatever else you want. He said, the freedom you've got is in real time. It's here on earth. It takes power, the power of God to keep you free, but it took the power of God to set you free. And I believe it took us just as much power to set you free as it does to keep you free. If we see freedom as a one-time action, then what Christ died for is a once-off, and he has to do it again. And a person who lives in bondage continually will never progress beyond the act of being set free. Listen what it says in Galatians 5:1. It is, for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is what? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Sounds a bit gobbledygook, doesn't it? Goes on to say, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. All writing to the church in Galatia. This term freedom, you study out the Greek, speaks of the freedom we now have in Christ to choose and to do as we want. True freedom, the freedom that Christ died for, is living as we should and not as we please. Right? I want you to think about freedom in the Garden of Eden. You want ultimate freedom? There it was. Girls didn't have to worry about makeup, clothing, shoes, what to cook for dinner, how much washing there was in the washing basket, how much ironing there was in the ironing basket. Woo! Boys could just go fishing when they wanted, fruit picking as they felt like it, name a few animals if you're just looking for something to do. And in the cool of the evening, they were free to walk with God and tell God about their day. God's plan was an awesome plan as far as freedom goes. Look what happened when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's dilemma of sin, of disobedience, of choosing what they thought was right other than what they knew what was right. God did warn them. Freedom. You've got everything. Have dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. Take control. Name. Create. You're my image. Do it. This one thing I don't want you to do. One thing. Isn't it funny, even in our nature today, this one thing we're not meant to do. We're like little children sometimes. Told not to do. What do? We go. And we do it. We think nobody's watching. It'll be okay. God knows my heart. He does. He knows he's died. Christ has died to set you free. Sometimes, friends, we take our freedom for granted. And we live as we please with no thought of the consequences and, in effect, put ourselves back into that bondage. Listen again to Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It doesn't say it is for control by me that I've set you free. It doesn't say that I transferred your slavery from a slavery connected to sin to a slavery doing what I'm wanting you to do as my slaves. It says very clearly, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. In other words, something's going to shift, something's going to draw you back, something's going to get you off track unless you stand firm. And it says, and do not let yourselves. I thought it was the pastor's job to keep us straight. I thought it was the elders that were supposed to keep our direction straight. I thought somebody else would do it for me. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's come back to the book of Acts 16. Book of Acts. Here's a girl that needs freedom. Verse 16 of chapter 16, in the New Living Translation, it says, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. I want to take this analogy out of this tonight, that she could see the future, but she could not see her freedom. Sounds like people in the world I know. Sounds like some Christians I know. This girl could see the future, but in that future she could not see her own freedom. She could see ahead, but she couldn't see her freedom up ahead. Now what got me was that she's following these men of God around for days. She was proclaiming who they were serving and what was happening. She would have been a witness to the signs, the wonders and the miracles that were taking place every day in the life of Paul and Silas and the other disciples that were following. The Spirit on her was able to give her the ability to see into the future, but restricted her and bound her from seeing her own future, which was on this day, freedom. Because the Bible doesn't record that she followed Paul and Silas and said, help me, I'm bound up by this spirit of divination. Am I right? Paul in the supernatural sees past the natural and he speaks to the spirit within her and lets her get freedom from that spirit and brings her to freedom in the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many times it's our faith eyes we're using. Sorry, it's our natural eyes we're using rather than our faith eyes. Because friends, our faith eyes will see errors in our own lives long before others will see them, and God, through His Holy Spirit, will give us the ability to get past them and work through them. David writes in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even though I'm going through stuff, I know I'm a free man because I've got God on my side. Amen? Through it all, the song we sang, through it all, your eyes are upon me. Why? Because He loves us. Freedom and liberty. Seems to be a basic human right now. You can't tell me what to do. Can't tell me. I'm my own person. Just let me go. Just let me make my own decision. Let me do what I want. It's all going to be okay. But look at the mess the world's got itself into by allowing self to say, "I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone, because I've got a right to be free in whatever I do." The famous logo that Nike uses, "Just do it." Just do it. Don't worry about consequences. Just do it. Whatever the wind blows on you like, whatever the Spirit tells you, off you go. But friends, our God, your God, my God, is the author. He's the God of freedom and liberty in its truest sense. From the very beginning of time, this aspect of God in relation to humanity, it has been established within people, God's own creation, freedom and liberty. We have a right to freedom, we have a right to liberty, but it gets out of hand and it goes to the extreme. God had given freedom, ultimate freedom, Adam and Eve, to work according to their free will and for them to make their own choices. Right back to Genesis in the early part. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, and even Alex alluded to it this morning, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom." The Amplified uses the word emancipation from bondage. True freedom. You see, liberty to you might think, well, I can do my own thing in my own space, in my own time, on my own free will. And I'm not worried about the consequences until the consequences come. But God offers His children true freedom. Love the story in Exodus chapter 2, if you want to come there quickly with me tonight. Exodus chapter 2. God not only hears our cry, but He answers our cry. Amen? This is a great example. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. It says, "However, after a long time, nearly 40 years, the king of Egypt died." And everyone said, "Yay!" It says, "And the Israelites were sighing and groaning because of the bondage." They'd been in captivity. They'd been under captivity. They kept crying, and they're crying because... and their cry because of the slavery ascended to God. They kept crying, and their cry because of slavery ascended to God. Verse 24, "And God heard their sighing and groaning, and earnestly remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the Israelites and took knowledge of them, and concerned Himself about them, knowing all, understanding and remembering all." God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus again refers to the book of Isaiah, where He talks about, you know, setting captives free, liberation to those who are in bondage. know, Christ's will. We often talk about God's will and Christ's will. Christ's will for us is that we enjoy freedom. What's freedom's sake if you can't enjoy it? It's God's will through Christ. That doesn't give us the right to do whatever we want. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Paul writes to the church, he says, I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. Otherwise we're going to misinterpret this freedom and we're just going to go off and do our own thing and step back into bondage. 1 Corinthians 6. Is that what I said? Verse 12. Everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me. But not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. Paul had an understanding that freedom was given by Christ for his people, but he didn't want people to abuse it. Amen? Let me just talk briefly tonight about freedom in Christ, and then I want to go to communion, and we'll pick this up next week. Christ died on that cross so that you and I would be free, number one, from the traditions of the world. Whether we like it, whether we agree to it or not, if you're holier than me, that's okay. We as human beings are all caught up in different ways and ways of this world that it leads us into. Subtly, stealthily, most of the time through the spirit of this world, not through natural ways, but we're caught up in them. Sometimes we know what things are right and what things are obviously wrong, but sometimes the world's precepts have crept into God's church and they become religious and they become okay because we think that's what God wants us to do. In Galatians 2 and verse 15, Paul says that we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but in faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Wow. So in the days of Jesus and the days of Paul, the religious authorities had interpreted the law of God in such a way that the word of God became the traditions of man. I'm not going to go into that tonight. We know that the laws had sub-laws, it had sub-laws, and all of a sudden there's thousands of laws based on those Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. And the letter that Paul writes to the Galatians was to was to warn the believers to not come under the bondage of man-made traditions. And when you stop and think about it, what we do as Christians, how much is it of God and how much of it is man that has crept in and we think it's God? We were to truly examine the Word of God and what God wanted for His church in this time, or even in the times when Paul wrote the letters to the church, how much out of order would we be? How much out of order would your life be, would my life be, when we really spent time with the Lord and got the Lord to actually tease out into us what we're doing wrong? Galatians 3. I'm going to finish with this scripture before we come around communion. Galatians 3. Here's the challenge in 2017. Are we going to be really set free and remain in that freedom? Or are we going to slip back into things we think are freedom when they're actually ways that will bring us back into bondage? Galatians 3, verse 1 to 4. Oh, you poor, silly, thoughtless, and unreflecting, and senseless Galatians. That's saying it strong, isn't it? Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you? Under whom? Right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Wow. There's a good question for the modern day Christian. Was it your good looks, your good works, your bankroll, your background, your education? Or was it the Holy Spirit? Was it God offering you grace and you receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Was it by observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? And you, so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having been your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Paul writes. Have you suffered so many things and experienced so much, all for nothing? To no purpose? If it really is to no purpose and in vain. Is it to no purpose, or is it just something you did that felt right at the moment? Freedom. Next week I want to touch a little bit more on this. It's such an important subject. Freedom from the traditions of this world. We may think we're set free, but when you really look at what Christ died for, freedom from the traditions, freedom from sin, freedom from fear, freedom from lack. When God allowed his son to be hung on that tree, he wanted us to have that same freedom, that same liberty that his son was about to experience when he came back from the dead. Next week I want to tease that out a little bit more. I hope you're willing to come along and experience and receive that freedom, that it is here for you. Amen? Amen. I was just wondering whether the communion stewards could distribute the emblems for us, please. Can I have that song back on, It Is Well, please? You know, we can't hold this bread and this cup and then partake of it if it's not well. This really is a faith confession. Because if we all had that perfect life, that fullness of freedom that Christ died for, Jesus would be coming right through the clouds now. Because for all of us, there's an element, portion, piece of your life is not yet fulfilled. Maybe financial, maybe mental, physical, spiritual. Might be something totally out of your control, but it still affects you. Jesus didn't hang on that cross on the premise of a maybe. He didn't say to the Father, I hope it pans out okay. I hope this works today, Dad. His words, it is finished. Your bondage, whatever that may look like, your deprivation from freedom, your lack of liberty was dealt with at the cross. Every section of it, every minute detail. As we pray over these elements tonight, over the bread and over the cup, symbols that Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember those final words. It is finished. It is finished was just the beginning of the new creation church, of the church that Jesus said I would build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. What was finished was religion. What was finished was bondage to sickness, to disease, to lack, to fear, to uncertainty, to doubt, to unbelief. What began was a whole level of faith where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ stood above everything. That at the name of Jesus, that name that is above every other name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And he gave you that authority over those bondages, over those scenarios, over those situations, because you're a believer on him. Giving you authority to use his name to break those shackles, to see those prison doors flung open. I love it when God turns up and he releases people from their shackles and busts down those prison doors. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants you to stay free. He wants you to walk in the Spirit by faith and not by sight. He wants you to walk according to the Spirit that's in you and not according to what the flesh so often desires. Jesus says that sort of thing is finished. Now walk, trust in the Spirit.